Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Hosea, please. We'll be reading Hosea. We'll read 11 verses, Hosea chapter 1, but the focus of our sermon this afternoon will just be on Hosea chapter 1, verse 1. These are the words of the Lord to you as people, holy and inspired by God. Hosea chapter 1. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea, "Go take yourself a wife of harlotry and children of harlotry, for the land has committed great harlotry by departing from the Lord." So he went and took Gomer, the daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. Then the Lord said to him, "Call his name Jezreel, for in a little while I will avenge the bloodshed of Jezreel on the house of Jehu, and bring an end to the kingdom of the house of Israel. And it shall come to pass in that day that I will break the bow of Israel in the valley of Jezreel." And she conceived again and bore a daughter. Then God said to him, "Call her name Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer have mercy on the house of Israel, but I will utterly take them away. Yet I will have mercy on the house of Judah, will save them by the Lord their God, and will not save them by a bow, nor by sword or battle, by horses or horsemen." Now when she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, she conceived and bore a son. Then God said, "Call his name Lo-Ammah, for you are not my people, and I will not be your God. Yet the number of the children of Israel shall be as the sand of the sea, which cannot be measured or numbered. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, 'You are not my people,' there it shall be said to them, 'You are sons of the living God.' Then the children of Judah and the children of Israel shall be gathered together and appoint for themselves one head, and they shall come up out of the land, for great will be the day of Jezreel." Let us pray. Father God in heaven, as we seek to start here in the book of Hosea, we do pray, Father, that you would do the work of your hands in our hearts, and that, Lord, you would change our hearts where it is needed, cause us to repent of sin where it is needed, and rejoice, Lord, in the forgiveness that you bring to us through your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask, Father, that you would work in our hearts, help us to hold in high esteem the reading and preaching of your word. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. The book of Hosea is a love story. In some ways, not unlike you might read in today's literature, a love story that might be written, that might include a great love, but it would also include a great tragedy. But what is distinctive about this love story is that this is one in which one lover goes astray and another lover pursues after her. One lover who, in spite of her acts of whoredom with others, her husband goes after her and pursues her. Now, this is not an allegory or a fictional account. It is real and is painful. But it is a picture and a portrayal of something other than Hosea and Gomer. So this message of Hosea with his wife Gomer is not intended to speak to us about them, but it's intended to speak to us about God and his Israel and his marriage to Israel and their family life. Hosea and Gomer's marriage was real. The whoredom was real. And the pain that was suffered in this family is real. And that is why God uses this picture, this real picture, a real life picture, to illustrate and demonstrate his relationship with his people. He uses the most intimate relationship that we as human beings have, husband and wife. He uses this because he knows that it will illustrate best love and pain when love like that is violated. It is when something is of the utmost intimacy that when that is torn apart, real pain is experienced. And this is what's happening with God and Israel. When God instituted marriage in the days of creation between one man and one woman, he knew that he would one day use that marriage that he had created to illustrate to us his great love for us and what it means or what it looks like for his people to depart from him in the midst of that love. And that's something we need to remember. And we'll see this as we get to later chapters of Hosea. That Israel didn't depart at a time when God had turned his back on them. They departed when God was loving them, caring for them, and being their God. So God speaks to us through this marriage, this picture of marriage. He speaks to us when he calls his son the bridegroom and his church the bride. God speaks to us through marriage when he calls men to love their wives, like Christ has loved the church. And he speaks to us, the church as well, as he calls the wives to submit their husbands, as the church submits to Christ. God knows what marriage is all about. He knows it because he created it. He knows that what he has done to demonstrate his love for his people. And he knows their betrayal of him is more than a rejection of a marriage contract. It's the rejection of a person. It's more than failing to keep a vow. His people turning away from him was a rejection of him. And so he uses marriage to illustrate the pain and suffering of that kind of relationship for us as his people to see. He also knows that his people, then and now, will never find someone who will love them like God loves them. The world will call out to you and say, come over here. We'll love you. But they will not. They will deceive you. They'll chew you up and spit you out before they'll ever love you. But God, in the book of Hosea, seeks to demonstrate what true love is all about. What his kind of love is really about. The covenantal love that is expressed in Hosea chapter 11. Lord willing, we will get there. But when Hosea chapter 11, when God reviews all his previous actions of love of a loving husband, God cries out to them and says to them, how can I give you up, O Ephraim? How can I hand you over, Israel? And the answer is that he will not give them up, because his love is a covenantal love. And Hosea is a picture of the unfailing love of God for his people. The family life of Hosea and Gomer give us a picture of that love, and this is what God is seeking to do by working through Hosea in this way. But there is no greater picture of God's love or real life portrayal of God's love than his son Jesus Christ. The scriptures tell us that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And so in the book of Hosea, we are going to see the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus taught us that the prophets speak of him. And so Hosea speaks of Christ. And Hosea speaks of us and speaks to us. For like Israel, we were once dead in our sins. We once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience. But God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. And by grace you have been saved. That is our status, and that was Israel's status. They too were dead in their sin and needed God's love and grace and mercy. And so Christ is the ultimate portrayal of God's great love for his people. And in the book of Hosea, as Jesus said, we will see Jesus. We will see the prophet Hosea speaking of Jesus. So it is altogether right that Hosea would start us out on a solid foundation here in verse 1 as he begins his prophecy to Israel by making sure that we know where this prophecy comes from. It doesn't come from Hosea. It comes from the Lord. And therefore, we are to pay attention to it. And we are to heed these words. Verse 1 of Hosea, the word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah, kings of Judah, and in the days of Jeroboam, the son of Joash, king of Israel. And I want us to see two things from just verse 1 today. And first is the person of the message. The stakes are high in this relationship between God and his people. And so the actions that God has taken and will take towards them can be based nothing less than on God's word. This is not the pent-up frustration of a holy man in the nation of Israel. It is not somebody who's tired of seeing moral decay and wickedness. It is not the words of a man, but it is the word of the Lord. It is the word of the Lord spoken to Hosea to be presented to God's people. And so it is today, that same thing. For the things that Hosea is going to be talking about cannot be claimed by a mere man who is also a sinner. These things that Hosea brings to God's people are things that are coming from a holy God, from someone who knows the sins of his people, someone who knows pure and true holiness because he is that. But God gives his word here to his people because he loves them. Because he loves them. He gives them words of judgment. He gives them words of love, and he also gives them words of hope. But he gives it to them because he loves them. And because he wants to see them turn away from their wickedness and turn to him who is good and great for them. For no one else can say they have loved a people like God has loved a people. And this word of the Lord that came to Hosea is a statement of that love. It is a demonstration of that love, as we will see in coming weeks, Lord willing. No one else can say that they have loved a people like God has loved this people. No one else can say they have called a people out of idolatry way back in Abraham's day to make them his people. This is the word of the Lord. This is the word of the Lord in his love and mercy to his people. And no one can say they've ever loved a people like God has loved Israel, bringing them out of slavery, teaching them to walk, healing their diseases, drawing them to himself with gentle cords and bands of love. This is how the Lord describes how he has treated Israel in this way. Taking the yoke of bondage off their neck, feeding them. No one else can say, I have loved you perfectly, and you have rejected me. This is the word of the Lord. It is coming through Hosea to the people, and God says, yet I will not give you up. This is the message of the Lord. It's also the message of the Lord to us, to God's bride today, that he will not give us up because it is a covenant love that he has for us. As I mentioned earlier, Jesus said the prophets speak of him. In Luke 24:40, he says that all things must be fulfilled which were once written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Hosea is not named as a prophet in the book of Hosea. He himself does not specifically claim to be a prophet, but he does receive the word from the Lord, which indicates his status as a prophet of the Lord. And therefore, the people of that day and the people in this room today need to hear the word of the Lord. We need to be paying great attention to these words. Even his name speaks to us. The name Hosea speaks salvation, means salvation or deliverer. And this points us to Christ, the only name given under heaven where men must be saved. And so as we read Hosea and as we hear it preached to us, we need to put these two things together. The prophets speak of Jesus, and Hosea was a prophet. And so this message in Hosea is about Jesus and our need for him. Even as Christians, our need for Jesus. Not just to be saved, but to be walking with the Lord in holiness. Jesus said in his day, this same Jesus of whom Hosea will speak, another sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. That is, and this is the word of the Lord. It was for them, and it is for us today. And it's not for us in a different way than it was for them, which sometimes that is how the Old Testament is looked at. The message of Hosea is wrapped up in the person of Jesus then and now, as God would offer them grace and mercy for their sins. It only was being offered through the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to be careful as we read the book of Hosea not to find ourselves trying to spiritualize one thing or another, like as if the message to them was not the same message for us. The message for them was, repent of your sin. Turn to the Lord and receive his covenant love through Jesus Christ. The prophets were speaking the word of the Lord with Jesus Christ in mind. And Peter reminds us of this truth in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 to 12, saying, of this salvation the prophets have inquired and searched carefully and prophesied of the grace that would come to you. So we're talking about the Old Testament prophets. Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. I want to say with the strongest of intentions that the book of Hosea was for people of that day, but it is for us today as well. It's an opportunity for us to refresh ourselves and to remind ourselves, this is the word of the Lord. What will he do in my life? Because now I am hearing it read and preached. And today I want to say to you, hear the word of the Lord. Hear the word of the Lord. Because it is coming to you through the book of Hosea. And having said all that, it is also true that the word of the Lord did come to Hosea in a historical time, in a historical setting. And that's what we see in the second part of verse 1. This message from the Lord, the person of the message, the second part is the timing of the message. The word of the Lord that came to Hosea, the son of Beeri, in the days of these several kings that he goes on to list. And here the Lord identifies Hosea's time period of ministry. And based on the list of these kings in verse 1, it is estimated that Hosea ministered to Israel and Judah during the 8th century before Christ. 700 and some years before Christ came. Hosea's contemporary prophets who prophesied at the same time would include people like Isaiah, Micah, and Amos. And if you look in those books, you'll see that they list these same kings as the time when they were prophesying as well. Why does God do that? Just to say, well, here's the calendar date? No. It was to say, look at the life of this nation during this time period. Look at them and see what I'm dealing with. Look at them and see how this marriage between Hosea and Gomer pictures them very, very clearly. So from the reign of these prophets during the time of these kings, we see a picture of the life of Israel and Judah in those days. And in these days, things on the outside looked good. There was religious activity. There was great blessing of materialism. There was even a sense of peace as they had with their neighbors who at the time the writing of Isaiah and Hosea, Micah. At the time, they were having good peace with their neighbors. Nobody was after them. Because these other nations were concerned with other things in other nations. But God was just building them up in their strength so that when the time came, he could use them to judge Israel. In the reality, the days in which Hosea spoke, which all these prophets spoke, this religious activity was empty and shallow. How is your worship? How is your worship? Is it worship in spirit and in truth? Is it worship with genuine hearts, full of gratitude for what the Lord Jesus has done for you? This was lacking in the nation of Israel. The wealthy were taking advantage of the poor, and the hearts of the people were shallow and poor towards God. They believed that because of their material success that they couldn't be living in sin, or else the Lord wouldn't be blessing them. And they were deceived. They even worshiped false gods, even when they were claiming to worship God, because their view of him was not who God had declared himself to be. Do you know of other time periods like this? The world certainly goes through times like this, and it is not long before the things that the world goes through that creep right into the church, and the church tags right along with the world. Is there false worship in the world today? There certainly is. Is there false worship in the church today? There is. And the question is, what about my worship? Is it genuine? Is it sincere? Is it full of gratitude? Is hell and judgment preached in the church today? Are there calls for repentance of the church to repent of its sin? Or do we think that life is pretty good and therefore there must not be any sin in me? That can't be the way that we think. This is the way that Israel was thinking. So God brought this message to them in those days of those kings, because the time was right. And as we sang in Psalm 50, it is God who will judge his people. And so God was preparing and declaring his judgment. God brought this message to Hosea in those days because the time was right. And what about our days? What about our days in our lives today? Is the time right for God to give us a declaration and a call to repentance? A challenge to see whether our worship is genuine and sincere, or is it shallow and empty? Are we comfortable in our material success, to the point we think that there could not be any sin in us? Are we comfortable in our doctrine in the church? So comfortable that we think there could not be any sin I need to repent of? This was the life. This was the time. And this were the days of Israel. Things that characterized Israel and Judah have also characterized the church to some degree, in days past and in our day as well. And they also characterize us as individuals. And these are the things that we must consider. Lord, this is the word of the Lord. Lord, what is your message to us today? What are you saying to us, Lord? What areas of my life look more like Israel than like Jesus? Their sins were piling up left and right, becoming more and more wicked. And while the nations around them weren't currently interested in them, they soon would be. And the Lord would use them as his instruments of judgment. The word of the Lord came to Hosea in the days, in these days of these kings. And now today the word of the Lord comes to you, his people. The word of the Lord came to Hosea and was prophesied hundreds of years before Christ came. But Christ came just at the right time, in the right days. Galatians 4:4 tells us, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons." What about your days? What about our days? Do we need to hear this word from Hosea in our day, in the days of our lives? And do you need to hear it today? I have every confidence that we do, that you do, that I do, and that we as a church do need to hear this word from Hosea as the Lord has given it to him. And it is a call to repentance. It is a call to examine ourselves with good, strong, genuine questions about the life that we are leading. It's not something that I have something in my back pocket that I think of you. I'm talking about me. It's not something I think that I know something about you that you need to repent of. But I know something about all of us. That at times we get very comfortable with our sin. And sometimes our sin has been with us so long that it just feels like it's part of us, as a piece of our body, like our hand. So the opportunity is a gift from God for us to be confronted, to be challenged with where we are at in our days. In the days of our lives, what sins do I need to be repenting of? And one thing for sure is we must not be like Israel, who thought, well, things are going so well, surely there's no sin in me. This is an opportunity for us to look closely at our lives as we look at the picture that God gives to us here. And as we'll see in a future verse, to break up fallow ground in our hearts, to prepare it to receive God's word, to prepare it to receive the planting of God's word in our heart and lives, that we can bear fruit. And that's what God does. When God is working in your life, he will bear fruit. He promises to do that. Jesus tells us that if he abides in us and we in him, we will bear much fruit. So we have every expectation that God will work through repentance, that God will work through his love that he declares to us, and we should be encouraged by that. But we should not go on thinking that if I am living in sin or being comfortable with my sin and not willing to recognize my sin and repent of it, that everything is well. It will not be well. We are in a day when we need to hear again God's great love and mercy towards his people. But that mercy comes because of our sin. That mercy comes because we need his love and forgiveness. The words of the Lord are not always easy to hear. Hosea, parts of it, are not always easy to hear, especially when we're being called to repent of our sin. And being called to repent of our sin is not easy for several reasons. Like Israel, we should admit, though they didn't admit it, we like our sin. We like it. While we're doing it, while we're committing it, we think it is the best way to go. And we are comfortable with them. We may be thinking, well, my worst sins aren't really hurting other people, which is really a deception. But we like our sin. And we need to turn away from it. We need to hate it as God hates it. Like Israel, also, we do not even recognize our sins because they have been with us for so long. Because we haven't dealt with them, we can't imagine something that we do all the time or something that we do frequently could be a sin. Maybe we think God has not judged us so far, so how could this be a big deal? Well, God is very patient in his judgment and his discipline of his people. This had been going on for many, many years. Well, like Israel, there are parts of our life that appear to be good, but there are also parts of our life that we're not willing to submit to the Lord God. We're not willing to say to the Lord, "You be king over this part of my life." Maybe in the external things or in public, it may look like we are submitting to God as our king. Maybe in front of the church, or maybe in front of our families or people that we work with, it looks that way. But in private times, when no one else is looking and no one else on this earth can see, too often we are not submitting to the living God and deceiving ourselves about God. This is what Israel was doing. Who will see our sin? Surely to be in this kind of debauchery, and wickedness, and whoredom, and idolatry, they were not thinking that God was watching them. They were not thinking that God would hold them accountable. These are the things that Israel was doing, the things that we must confront ourselves about if we are doing. But as the word came to Israel, it's coming to you today in God's grace and mercy. God is not leaving to you to yourself. There is hope for you. There's hope for me. And it comes from the Lord Jesus Christ as he will be portrayed throughout this book. And that is God's grace towards you. It is God's grace towards you that he calls you to repentance. It is God's grace towards you that he gives you his Holy Spirit to convict you of sin and of truth. That is God's grace towards you. And so when you hear a call to repent of sin, think grace. Think this God who is coming after you and will not let you go. God's grace is greater than all our sin. And this is the message of Hosea. That God will save for himself a people and will show mercy and grace to them. At the same time, there will be people who are judged. And as a nation, they will be judged. But even in the midst of this, God will not forsake his covenant love towards his people. So as we hear the words of Hosea, this is the word of the Lord to Hosea. This is also the word of the Lord to you. Submit your whole life to him. And I challenge you with this today. Is there an area of your life that you say, "No, Lord"? I'll give you everything except this. If that's the case, you have not submitted to the Lord. You have not heard his call to repent. And you have not heard his offer of grace and mercy. So as we leave verse 1, I simply want this to be what you think about. This is the word of the Lord. As we go through the book of Hosea, asking the Lord to break up fallow ground in your heart. That if there's any sin you have become comfortable with, any sin that's been in your life so long that you don't even notice it anymore, any sin that you have been submitting to rather than submitting to God as your loving king and husband, to repent of those things. Ask the Lord to show you those things that you may receive his grace and mercy. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we ask that you by your Holy Spirit would work in our lives. Lord, that you would show us where the hard ground is, that we may repent of sin and respond to your grace and mercy and your great love for your people. We know, Lord, this is something that you and you only can do. And so we submit ourselves to you and ask you to do it. And Lord, if there is someone here today who's not submitting themselves to you, please help them to see the judgment or the discipline that may come upon them. That we not live in sin, but turn to you and live in the holiness that you have called us to through the Lord Jesus Christ. We ask it in Jesus' name.